people, process, and product. The products, you know, Jindal Steel Raigarh, even amongst all the different challenges, is an epitome of product differentiation. We have products which are unique, not only in India, but also in the world. But what is most important for all of us is to unlearn and relearn.
We are gearing up to put in place an R&D center in Angul right now, which would be the more future-centric products that we really want to bring to the country and to our customers. Technology, in terms of digitalization, is the bedrock.
Right.
And we are making sure India 2047, what it is going to look like, we are bringing in those digital technologies right now.
I would say that what India does differentiate itself on is the quality, intrinsic quality of the engineers on the ground. Clearly, our engineers are very capable, very analytical, very deep, very ready to learn with many of these techniques.
Welcome to the Steel of India podcast. This is where we shine the light on the systems, the scale, and indeed the talent that's driving India's industrial transformation. My name is Sheetal, and here's one sentiment that you're going to hear repeated across our episodes. It's the fact that steel is everywhere. And it really is everywhere because, well, it's in the refineries, it's in the railways, it's in the skyscrapers, it's in the smart grids as well. So I wouldn't be wrong to say that it all begins with steel. But the real story isn't really in the production volumes. It is in the discipline, the precision, and the cultures that turn raw material into national ambition. On this episode, we are going to take you to two plants that are at the heart of India's steel journey. And that's why we call this episode, Where Steel is Born. Our first stop is going to be Jindal Steel's Angul plant, which is a bold blueprint for scale, for green ambition, and also for digitalization. Next stop is going to be Jindal Steel's Raigarh plant. And this stands tall in areas like consistency, integration, and operational maturity. So we are going to be joined by people who can take us through these plans, and we have another voice as well. Let me welcome onto the podcast Pankaj Malhan, who is Executive Director of Jindal Steel's Angul plant, also overseeing the massive capacity expansion it's in the middle of right now. We're also joined by Sabyasachi Bandyopadhyay, who is the Executive Director of Jindal Steel's Raigarh plant, the flagship one where it all began. And we're delighted, of course, to have Rajat Gupta join us here. He's senior partner at McKinsey. He's also someone who founded the industrials and manufacturing practices for McKinsey in India and Asia. So this is going to be a conversation that talks about skilling, systems, mindsets, metrics, and also shows us how execution is shaping ambition and what it's going to take for us to set off on a journey to 300 MTPA and Viksit Bharat. So yes, it is fantastic to have these thought leaders with us today. Thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks.
Good. I'm going to be better once we get the conversation started. And Pankaj, I'm going to start with you, right? Jindal Steel's Angul plant on track to become India's largest integrated steel plant. Curious to know what operational excellence really means at scale like this, and what are you doing to prepare for the next phase of expansion and growth?
Yeah, fitness, I would say. And fitness comes at the backdrop of discipline. And discipline in terms of execution, in terms of repeatability, and making sure whatever we do is right at the first time. Of course, there are a lot of vectors to this. First vector which straight away comes to my mind is the way we are innovating right now. So the innovation doesn't come out of the technology part, but it also comes to the business model and the product centricity. Angul plant today is actually working on creating newer products, getting to the customers which potentially they have not seen it before, and that's how we are trying to bring innovation. We are gearing up to put in place an R&D center in Angul right now, which would be the more future-centric products that we really want to bring to the country and to our customers. Second, I would say, would be in terms of sustainability. Of course, the world talks about green steel. I think that comes naturally to Angul.
Right.
And when I say naturally, Angul is the first plant where we got gas-based DRI generation, and that gas is based out of coal. And I must thank the big bet which Mr. Jindal has put over there. I think we're very futuristic technology. And that is what is giving the hunger to the Angulites to actually get going with the next level of technologies and the systems and processes that we really want. And that really makes us more green in the sense. Third, I would say, which we keep talking a lot, is digitalization. Digitalization, I think, I keep saying that. With the newer technologies, a very recent scale that we are adding up, technology in terms of digitalization is the bedrock.
Right.
And we are making sure India 2047, what it is going to look like, we are bringing in those digital technologies right now. So I think these three things, coupled with the people-centricity, which always remain at the core of Angul and Jindal, that goes hand in hand. I think we are all poised to take Angul to the next level and be at the epicenter of India's steel industry. That's where our targets are.
Absolutely. And I was going to come to that, actually, because the plant also reflects Jindal Steel's ambition in areas like green steel and digitalization. So I'm curious to know how these capabilities are going to shape the plant's role in delivering on our India 100 vision. That's what the series across, you know, we are trying to spotlight. And there are always two questions when I ask questions. By now, I think most people need to figure that out. But also want to know how you're training teams and systems or preparing them for this future that's going to be both, you know, low carbon and high capacity.
I think the capacity addition brings a lot of challenge in terms of developing jobs. And jobs can only be developed if you have skilled workforce with you. We've already launched a big skill center in Angul itself, where we are working with a lot of communities. We're working with our own employees. We are working with the future employees, how we can actually skill them up to the technologies that we need, or India needs, I would say. Second, of course, I think we India as a whole, we see the age group, which is really, really fascinating one. We are really tech savvy. You go to a small rural village also, you'll find an 80-year-old guy working with his mobile. I think that comes naturally to India and Indians. Our take is digitalization is going to be the next wave. While industry is talking about Industry 4.0, we are setting our eyes on Industry 5.0. And that's how we're preparing our workforce into that. And we're very hopeful India's next level, which is 2047, we would be one of the most automated units in the country.
Rajat, I must come to you and ask you about, you know, he mentioned Industry 5.0. So what does this digital future for India really look like?
Well, let me talk a bit about what is the global benchmark that we are seeing on the implementation of digital and now actually AI. So we've been working with the World Economic Forum for the last 6-7 years, figuring out what the state of the art is, right? So this is the World Economic Forum Digital Lighthouse Program. There are about 170 of them, 15 of them odd are in India, about 2/3 of them we've actually worked with in some way, shape or form. The state of the art on this is that AI ML, which is machine learning models, amongst the best plants, amongst these 170 plants, of which about 40 odd will be process industry plants, AI ML has proliferated. These models are being used aggressively to run large units. Many of them have been wired into the DCSs. So that's pretty wide. It's network wide and it's seen quite widely. A few of these companies have actually moved where they have control and command centers with very strong infusion of AI to help the operators make decisions.
Right.
And these are in specific areas like, for example, multi-plants, or they may control outbound supply chains, not just getting information, but actually the data is being used to make decisions and to shorten the period in which decisions are made, make much better and more optimized decisions. And the third thing I would say here is that the newer technologies, which is LLMs and agentic, are getting there.
Hmm.
So pilots are being done. A lot of what we call horizontal use cases, like chatbots being used to support
right.
somebody who's doing maintenance, are beginning to be seen. What we haven't yet seen at scale is where an end-to-end process has been digitized using, or AI-ized, if you want to call it that, using these technologies fully.
Right.
I think that'll come soon.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that we are seeing across the world.
Wonderful. And thank you for explaining or walking us through what state of the art really means, especially in light of, you know, Pankaj just mentioned Industry 5.0, and we are well on track to getting there from it looks like. But that's not the most important thing. Sometimes there are lessons to learn from legacy operations. And clearly, Sabyasachi, Jindal Steel's Raigarh plant is one of the most iconic that India has today. Begs the question, how does one ensure consistency and, you know, discipline, all the while keeping your eye on reliability, on all those things that a plant like this is known for?
Very apt question. Jindal Steel Raigarh, it epitomizes the vision of our founding father, Sri O.P. Jindalji. You know, it is very well perceived and appreciated. Where others saw the doors, walls, O.P. Jindalji saw the doors. At the backbone of every industry, there are three things which are important: people, process, and product. You know, when it comes to people, Jindal Steel Raigarh has been able to retain very long-standing employees, quite a significant number of them. And they have been there since inception. So understanding of the equipment when it first came in, how it was installed, how it was commissioned, how it was run, that's very well known. And on top of that, we have brought in people over the years, the newer generation.
Right.
And they have been trained by these people who have been there for years.
Hmm.
The products, you know, Jindal Steel Raigarh, even amongst all the different challenges, is an epitome of product differentiation. We have products which are unique, not only in India, but also in the world, mm-hmm. and including some of the things like head iron rails, the track shoes, first time. So there are a lot of firsts in Jindal Steel Raigarh. The third, you know, when it comes to processes, we have one of the most efficient blast furnaces in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are not only situated in Chhattisgarh, which is mineral rich, but we also have close proximity to all the other mineral rich states in India, like Odisha, Jharkhand, West Bengal, and Madhya Pradesh, and Maharashtra. And that helps us to continue to have a very good raw material strategy to produce the steel of our kinds.
Hmm.
And in the last, what I would say that it's a legacy, what we talk about, but it's also a heritage.
Hmm.
More than the legacy, it's the heritage that paves the way for Jindal Steel's future.
Right.
So at the center of everything, we are very community-centered. We want to focus and continue to remain very determined to produce and perfect our community excellence in the whole journey of nation building and sustainable community.
Right. And I've got to also ask you this, you know, Jindal Steel's Raigarh plant has plenty to teach us. So I want you to give us a masterclass over here, because it clearly stands out in two specific areas among the other ones that you've mentioned, institutional maturity and discipline. So what can you learn from a plant like this when you're building plants for the future and plants that have solid cultures which last long? What would you tell us?
I would say this. Learning is certainly a continuous journey. But what is most important for all of us is to unlearn and relearn. When in the 90s, this plant came up and running, we had few assets. We have kept on building on those. But in the process, we not only continuously learned, but also unlearned. And now, as Pankaj very rightfully said, the focus on digitalization. See, he's talked about the mobile handsets in the hands of the people. What I would like to add is India is first in many kinds. FinTech is one of the greatest, largest industry in India. Mm. Similarly, Raigarh has built upon its own experiences and products to keep on adding, bring in newer generation, mm-hmm. make them not only future ready, but also future performance ready. And that's where I think our entire purpose right. of putting people together with the single purpose of becoming one of the biggest, we are already, but one of the biggest contributors in the nation building.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And Rajat, I must come to you, right? You worked across several, you know, global manufacturing environments. Tell us about how those environments compare with what we have going for us in India and maybe some of the opportunities where, you know, there's room for improvement.
So let me break this answer up into two or three pieces. I think the first one is people. Hmm. Again, I've worked in roughly 10 odd countries in the manufacturing setups across four continents. And I would say that what India does differentiate itself on is the quality, intrinsic quality of the engineers on the ground. Very right. often these are frontline engineers. Most other places you won't have degree engineers doing frontline jobs. So they're very smart. I'll just give you one illustration of this. So we were working with a large public sector company, and we were making an assessment of about roughly about 1,000 of their people on the readiness for AI. And on a globally benchmarked scale, there were 20% odd people who got more than 95% mark. Usually it's only half of that much that gets above 95% marks. So clearly our engineers are very capable, very analytical, very deep, very ready to learn mm-hmm. With many of these techniques. If I compare this to some of the other geographies, the one that comes to mind is, for example, Southeast Asia and China. There's a lot of discipline. So people really work with the process and get to the answers.
Right.
So what comes with perhaps some degree of creativity in India comes with process there. I think in the West, what I found both in the US as well as in Europe is people are in those 8 hours that they're there, they're incredibly productive. They may not go beyond those 8 hours. That may be a sign of rigidity, but those 8 hours are incredibly productive. Mm. So I think that's the first one, right? There is a difference in people and the cultures that I see. I think the second one is technology. So particularly in India and China, most of our plants, 80% of our capacity has come in the last 15, 20 years. So our plants are truly state of the art, not only in the production technologies, but on the IT side. People have invested in sensors, they've invested in L2 systems, they've invested in DCSs, SCADAs, control systems of various kinds. So I find that our plants are very ready for right. digitization and AI. I think the third thing is a bit of a contrast, which varies across, in fact, companies in India and outside, is the leadership itself. So how long-term versus short-term are they? How aspirational versus practical are they? Hmm. How performance-oriented versus health-oriented, you talked a bit about that, are they? And finally, how much are they relying on structural advantages, like having mines, for example, versus relying on really operational excellence? And I think here is where institutions can differentiate themselves if they find the right balance, because there is no outcome without real short-term performance, and there is no outcome in the long-term without building the capabilities. I think stitching all this together is absolutely essential for companies to get AI right. And I would just take a minute and just say, look, to the question of these digital lighthouses that we talked about a little while ago,
right.
What are the ones that are most successful versus the ones that are less? 90% of the companies that aspire to be digital lighthouses don't necessarily get there. Hmm. I think what differentiates the ones that do get there are, number one, do the companies follow the money? Do they look for business problems and solve solve those using AI, using digitization, as opposed to the other way around, where you have a technology and try and use the technology. The second dimension is one of, again, not being technology-led, but getting the getting additional technology investments made on the back of, again, business cases, real business cases. The third point I would make around that is building capability internally.
Hmm.
So just like maintenance is largely an outsourced function, specialized maintenance or low-end maintenance you may outsource, but largely an insourced function today.
Right.
Similarly, AI and digital has to be an insourced function because it'll move so quickly.
Hmm.
And the final point I'll make is that the difference between the ones that are using AI really well and not is whether they're being programmatic or are they stuck in a pilot purgatory,
hmm.
right? Putting it all together in a systematic way, getting real business results.
Right. Yeah, I think masterclass all the way over here is what I've got over here. And I like the phrase pilot purgatory. I'm going to store that for, I think, time to come. But thank you for those perspectives. It's time for a small little rapid fire round. Are you ready, all of you, for quick one-line answers?
Sure.
Have you prepared
sure.
one-line answers? Okay. All right. We're going to go with this. And this one is for the both of you who are part of plant life, indeed. Pankaj, one plant moment that actually really makes you smile.
Me and my wife working together on an assignment.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know that. So, Sabyasachi, what about you?
See, I'll give a little offbeat answer here, because something that we had to do, again, unlearn and relearn.
Mm-hmm.
We installed stop signs instead of traffic lights within the entire plant and the township premises. Remember, our plants are actually a community.
Right.
We have entire employee base staying in the same perimeter.
Mm.
So building stop lights, stop signs, and people stopping there without having anybody to watch at any hour of the day. That gives me a pause and a smile on my face.
Nice. Thank you for answering that. Rajat, yours is a little different. One leadership trait you think is critical for India's industrial future?
Rigor of implementation.
Okay. You're literally sticking to that one phrase.
Yes. you said it's rapid fire. Rigor, I mean, just maybe to elaborate a little bit. Like I said, we are analytically very strong.
Yeah.
Right? We are highly creative as people. The conditions are in place, right? The tech is there. This last point about programmatic implementation, not pilot purgatory, can be met by rigor of implementation and staying with this.
Okay.
Right? This doesn't take very long. An AI transformation, 2 to 3 years, you get enough momentum behind it.
Okay.
Right? But with rigor of implementation.
Super.
If you would allow me to add to what Rajat said. One of the things that, you know, there are certain principles that we follow. But one of the things that Team Raigar has come up with, along with my, is a phrase that we have coined. It says, belief drives commitment. Commitment drives behavior. And behavior drives performance.
Hmm. Yeah, ties into what he said. All right, now here's time to do some predictions, looking at the future, etc. In 2047, India's steel sector will be
self-reliant.
Okay.
World-leading.
World-leading, okay.
Booming.
Booming. Okay, excellent. Okay, one leadership mantra or one personality trait, let me just put it this way, that helps you stay calm under pressure.
Mindfulness, I would say.
Okay.
I'm never calm under pressure.
I like that candor. What about you?
I sleep well when the high winds are there. I don't even get to know.
There. They've said the same thing, one a little poetically, one directly. But fantastic. It's been a lovely conversation. Plenty to take away from this one. And for our viewers, as you've seen, operational excellence isn't a line item. It is a mindset. And it is defined by things like daily execution, team trust, and certainly the ability to deliver consistently, even if the ground beneath you shifts. And shifts constantly. Well, we've learned plenty. We've learned things from Jindal Steel's Angul Plant's greenfield ambition. We've learned about institutional discipline from Jindal Steel's Raigarh plant. And from the global lens we got from our consulting voice, we've seen that steel or great steel isn't just born in a furnace. It's also born in systems, in leaders, and in cultures. Thank you for watching the Steel of India podcast. We'll be back soon, but until then, stay strong, stay inspired, and stay forged in purpose. Thank you to our participants.
Thank you. Thank you very much.